We are quitting at 12 o'clock. I want to start something, though, because I feel it imperative that we do. And it is a word from the Lord, and it is for our body, for our church. I want to take the next couple of weeks and speak from Psalms 149 and bring out what I want to minister to us, seven aspects of praise. This isn't saying this is a total encompass of praise, but our total exegete, but it is bringing to us seven aspects of praise. And what I want to do, what I'm wanting to accomplish in this, is not just come up here and have a Sunday morning message. What I want this to do for us is lift us into a new dimension and into a new place in praise and worship in our body. Now, our body is unique in our area because of the way that we praise God. I guess that's the primary difference. If you go to this church or any other church, the primary thing that you're going to see different is the way that we praise God. Secondly, might be not the ability of teaching, but what we teach. Thirdly, will probably be the dramas that we do and the way that we do things in that aspect. But the primary thing that's different about our church and other churches in our area is the way that we praise God. Now, I want to talk about that, and I don't want to just talk to hear myself talk or take up time when we could be doing something else or ministering something else. I really want this to get into us, and I really want this to minister to our church and raise our church from where it's at right now in praise and worship into a new dimension. How many would like to see that? Okay, so we're together on that point. So let's look at this now, and I want to read this psalm from 149. I want to read the whole psalm, and I'm going to read it from the King James Version. Now, there is some difference in words and so forth, but the thoughts you will be able to get. And I want us to see praise, and my emphasis is going to be the first three verses, but I'm going to read the whole chapter, so you'll see not only how he instructs us to praise God, but also what praising God will do for us. Psalms 149 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. This is why we praise. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. Now, I want to take a couple of weeks, and I want to minister here, and I want you to go ahead and try to go with me into what praise and worship is supposed to be. And I want to give you, first of all, the first seven aspects that I'm going to be ministering from the first three verses. The first one we'll see is personal praise. It says, praise ye the Lord. Now, NASV just says, praise the Lord. But I want to emphasize the praise you the Lord. Then secondly, singing praise. Do we see that? They're singing praise. Sing unto the Lord what? A new song. Thirdly, there's united praise. Let the congregation of saints praise him. Fourthly, there's rejoicing praise. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Fifthly, there's joyful praise. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Sixthly, there's praise and dancing. Now, you've got your Bible open, and I want you to read that with me. I want you to look at that Bible on that verse 3. Let them do what? Praise his name with dancing. Let them do what? Praise what? With what? Oh, I don't know if it's seeking in. I don't know, because this is so contrary to the way that we're taught. Let them praise what? His name with, when I'm dancing, what am I praising? Is this contrary and opposite from what we've basically been taught in religion? That we come in a real reverent way and we associate reverence with stillness and deadness, actually. But the Bible says what? Let them praise his name with dancing. I want to emphasize that because I'm not going to get that to that one today, but I want you to see that the Bible teaches us not to be dead in the congregational worship. Praise his name. with dancing. So praise and dancing. Then fifthly, or seventhly, there's instrumental praise, the timbrel and the harp. So I want to take time and I want to go through these, and I wanted to get the first two today, but I don't think we will, but I want to get as far as I can. Number one is personal praise. Praise ye the Lord. Now, if we say this in our modern vernacular, in our modern vocabulary, what would we say? Praise you the Lord. Everybody say that with me. Praise you the Lord. What this is saying is it's a personal praise. Praise begins with you, individual. Let's say it together. I will praise the Lord. Say that. I will praise the Lord. One more time. I will praise the Lord. Now look at that person around you and say, praise you the Lord. Praise you the Lord. This is the emphasis. It begins with you. It begins with me. We can never have corporate praise until we have individual praise. We can't expect to come here and see everybody rejoicing and having fun if nobody will do it first. If nobody will enter into praise individually. Now, what do I want to see? What am I praying right now? What am I trying to see when I pray? What am I trying to bring us up to? I want to see Christopher did, come up here. Nobody encouraged him. He just came up here and he wants to dance before the Lord. I want to see that happen. I want to see women and men coming up here and having forms of rings and celebrating and worshiping and praising God in exuberance and adoration and love. You want to do this. You know that you can do this. But the reason you won't do this is because you won't praise the Lord. Everybody wants to enter into that because of the Spirit of God that's in you. There is something in you that wants to praise God with exuberance. Praise you the Lord. And I want to see our church come to this. I want to see us come out of whatever that we're bound in. And if you read on down in that psalm we just read, it breaks those fetters. It binds up those things that bind us. And it releases us to praise Him. And so as we come into this, what I really want to see us doing is doing like Christopher did, except a child should lead them, except you become as a little child, until we come to the place where we can enter into praise and worship, enter in, and not be observationists, but entrances. The house of God should not be a place of suppression, but a house of what? Let's go expression. Let's say, the house of God should not be a place of suppression, but a place of expression. We should be able to learn to express ourselves to God. Now, we have been basically taught against this in our religion. You've got to be reverent. What we're really saying, you've got to be dead. That is not biblical praise. Biblical praise is coming into the house of the Lord with exuberance and praise and adoration, lifting of the hands, clapping of the hands, dancing and celebration and musical instruments and joy being cast around. The house of God should be the place of expression. God praises man. Let me say it again. Man praises his God. That's what praise is. Man will praise his God. It is the way that we express our love to our God. Whatever your God is, you'll praise him. And so that's what I'm saying here, is that praise has to be an individual's response to our God. Now, here's how I'm saying it. What do you praise God according to? No, you're giving me the biblical answer. What do you praise God according to? You got it? That way I feel? The attitude of the hour? How I'm getting along with my spouse? My finances? People around me? Whether my mom and dad's coming here today and watch me? Huh. Am I right? We praise God according to those things. Our finances, how our kids are acting, how I feel. We praise God according to how I'm getting along with my spouse or how I'm getting along with my boss or if I'm arguing or if I'm fussing with someone. Am I right? Does that not determine how we praise God? Should it? No. What does the Bible say praise Him according to? Excellent greatness, that's one of them. I'm going to read you three of them. Psalm 7:17 says, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness, and I will sing praises to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalms 48:10, according to Thy name, O God, so is Thy praise unto the ends of the earth. According to Thy name, according to his righteousness, according to his name. And then the third one, Psalms 150 and 2, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. The Bible nowhere ever says praise him according to how I feel. Praise him according to my finances, or praise him according to my wife, or praise him according to my husband, or praise him according to anything except his name, his righteousness, and his excellent greatness. Now that takes an attitude adjustment. You come in here and you're not focused on yourself. What must you focus on to praise God? His name, his righteousness, and his excellent greatness. And we can focus on that. That will adjust our praise. We'll forget about the one on the right, the one on the left. If your parents are here with you to observe you having church, if you're bringing visitors with you, all these things will hinder our praise if we're not cautious. We praise him according to his righteousness, his name, and his excellent greatness, not according to how I feel. Praise is an expression, not a suppression. And I've learned in my years of ministering to people and pastoring a church that most people will not praise God. Though they know what the Bible says, though there's instruction after instruction and exhortation after exhortation, and the praise leader wanting to lead us into his vision of where he wants to take us today, though those things continuously happen Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, I have learned that most people will not enter biblical praise. Why is that? There's a couple of reasons. One is we've been taught that you got to be reverent, and what they're teaching is basically dead. Secondly, you got to have the Spirit move on you. Am I right? And you can't do it unless the Spirit moves on you. I walk and I live in the Spirit. I walk in here in the Spirit. I walk out of here in the Spirit. I don't have to wait for him to move on me. I walk in the Spirit. And so do you. We are biblical believers and we live in the Spirit. I don't have to wait for it. He's in me. And when I come to church, I come ready to praise God. It's my mental aptitude, it's the way I look at it. I praise him according to his excellent greatness, not according to my circumstances, not according to what somebody's taught me, not according to waiting on the Spirit to move. I praise him because he's worthy of my praise. Nothing else deserves my praise except my Lord. He comes first and foremost. Number one, must be individual praise, not according to how I feel, not according to my circumstances, according to his excellent greatness, not according to what I've been taught, not according to what I've been told, not according to my spouse, my finances, anything else, but according to his excellent greatness, his righteousness, and his name. Personal praise. Secondly, I must learn to praise him in singing. Singing praise. There's over 300 scriptures in the Bible that talk about singing praises. There are 11 different Hebrew words used to try to transmit to people about singing. There are 3 different Greek words that are used to try to transmit to people about the necessity of singing. Singing unto the Lord. And then what does it say, sing to the Lord? What does that mean? Do you know that there has never been, study your church history, you'll find out, there has never been a massive move of God. There has never been revival in the land unless there was a new song. Am I right? The Wesleys is a prime example. When the Methodist movement came along, methodically studying God, that came along, John Wesley was the preacher. Charles Wesley, his brother, was a songwriter, wrote like, 5,000 songs or something like that? It was a new song. Every time you find a massive move of God, you find that there's a new song that comes along. What does that mean? Means that there's a freshness in God. He is new wind every morning. There's a freshness in God. I should be able to come with a freshness in God. I love it when Pastor Tebow takes into a new song. I like the old songs, but I love the new songs. I love to sing the new things about God. I love to experience the newnesses of God. He is new every morning. Sing a new song. Now that doesn't necessarily only mean that you're singing something out of your spirit. That is a part of it. But the primary thing is to keep God fresh. Keep your singing fresh. It should never be dull. It should never be dead. It always should be alive and exciting. We need to encourage our children, and this is a family type of a church, but we need to encourage our children to enjoy church. How do you do that? Well, you let them go sometimes. Just let them be kids. You let them come to church and they don't have to sit real quiet. They get to dance. They get to shout. They get to clap. They get to have fun. Church isn't something that they dread going to, but look forward to going to. And most of your kids do. All of you tell me all the time about your kids get a new dress or something and they want to go to church. That they associate goodness and newness with church. And that's the way it should be. Sing to the Lord a new song. It should be a fresh time. It should be a good time. The Bible tells us to come before His presence with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, but come before His presence with singing. Think about that. How do I come into the very presence of God? Singing. 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 You study history, you find out that your major, soldiers, your guys who led people into war, understood this principle. When they would go into battle and it would look dark, it would look bad, it would look dreary, like we were going to be defeated. He would lead, the major would lead the admiral, whoever that it would be, would lead the people into singing their national anthem. And they would all of a sudden gain courage and understand that there's a singing. When the martyrs would go into the pits to fight the beast and be devoured by them and be killed, when the Caesars were bringing the martyrs in, they would go in with singing. This baffled the minds of the enemies. They didn't understand that. David understood it as he ministered to Saul. Saul had this bad spirit upon him. David would go and play his instruments and sing to Saul. What would the spirit do? The evil spirit would leave. Because you enter His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. Singing is the secret weapon. Singing is the secret weapon. I want to say this. And I've said it before, but I want to say it on a Sunday morning. I really believe that the church has got to recapture singing. The devil has understood the principle that I'm about to project to you since the beginning of time. And by his Pied Pipers and his dark singers, he has led our children, our generations, into hell. Am I right? With singers. Every generation has a new singer, has a new group singing to the Lord a new song. They have something new that they're projecting. It's always the same old stuff, but they're singing it newly. And they're taking their kids to hell. And one day we're going to wake up and we're going to understand that principle. Folks, the church has got to wake up and grasp back singing. And music. That's why we spend so much money here on sound equipment. And I'm glad to see Brent back there today. Not that Doug and everybody else doesn't do the best we can. But Brent understands this stuff a little bit. Me and Lance can hook wires and splice and do all these things, but we don't have an ear for it. I love to hear it sound good. I love to hear it like it's supposed to be. We spend a lot of money, and sometimes it don't sound good. We need to pray for a good sound man that understands this stuff. But there is an aspect of it that we've got to come back. Whether it's country music or pop music or whatever, there's the Pied Pipers of the world that lead people to hell. What we have got to do as the church is understand the principles that we come into His presence with singing. And I shared this story with you. I don't know where we were at. We were at some place and I was raised in the 60s. I graduated in the 60s. I went to college in the 60s. And so the songs that I know are like when I was raised up were in the 60s. And so we went someplace and we were sitting and they were playing 60s music. I haven't heard some of these songs for 20, 30 years. And as they started playing them, I could sing them. And I haven't heard them. So where were those words? Where were those songs? Where were those things? They were down inside of me. And if we ever grasp that principle and grasp that truth and get this into our children, into the righteous seed, so that when they go forth, they can sing the songs of Zion. There's a principle of singing, singing, singing unto the Lord, singing unto the Lord. Let me see if you get this. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people His doing. Psalms 9:11. Psalms 18:49. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies around about me thereafter. Will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy? I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Psalms 47:6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Are you getting anything? Have you picked up anything that I've said yet? Sing praises. We don't sing songs. We sing praises. There's a different attitude. There's an adjustment in my mentality. Let's go on. Psalms 47:7, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Psalm 68:4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens. Psalm 68:32, sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises unto the Lord. Psalm 75:9, but I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. Psalms 92:1, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. What are we singing? We're praises. Sing unto him according to his excellency, according to his name, and according to his righteousness. What you do is you singing these things, you begin to focus on these things. You begin to sing what you're singing. You begin to act out. You begin to do what you're singing. I don't just come in here and sing to the wind. I do what I'm singing. If he's talking about the blood, I'm going to do something about the blood. If he's talking about the greatness of God and the holiness and the worship of him, if he's talking, singing about bowing, I bow. I sing praises to God. I just don't sing songs. I praise God. Praise is an expression, not a suppression. I express. Nowhere. You look up every word about praise, and there's like 14 or so of them. If you look them up, every one of them is an expression. There is no such thing in the Bible as silent praise. Nowhere. Oh, brother, but you don't understand, Pastor. Just within me, I know I don't express it. I can tell it by my mouth or by my expressions. But within me, there's just volcanoes. It's just erupted within me. And it's just coming forth. It's just exploding. If you could just see my insides. No! No! Praise is a expression. Praise is an expression. Let me do a few more. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it's pleasant. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument. In 10 strings, I will sing praises unto thee. Psalms 46:2. While I live, while I praise the Lord, I will sing praises unto the God, while I have in anything in my being. 147:1, Psalms. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is a pleasant and it is comely. It is beautiful to him. Sing praises. We don't sing songs. We sing praises. We do something. We express. It's a praise. It's coming out of us into an expression, not a suppression. You can go anywhere and sing songs. When I come here, I want to sing praises. Do you understand? I want to do it. I want to see it. I want to worship him. He's worthy. We don't sing songs, we sing praises. And one more thing, and I'll close with this thought. Would you, Lance, you all going to do it? Okay, come on up here, let's listen. Get ready. I don't like to sing basement songs. Oh, woe is me. The devil's after me. And he's going to get me. Oh, I'm so weary and so tired. This old lonely life, and oh, sad sack of dirt that we live on. I'm so sad. I don't like songs that take me down. I want songs that take me up. I want to go up into him. I want to sing praises to him. Now hear what I'm saying, because if you can hear this, Rod and Lou, Tanya, you all, I want you to hear me. I want you all to hear me right. The Negro spirituals, they're all basement. They're woe is me. I'm so sad. I'm trudging through. And they keep you in this mentality. They keep you bound. You're down. Woe. Sing praises. And I don't believe that bondage that white man is responsible for doing will ever be broken over the black man until you learn to sing praises. Because you read that psalm and you'll find out that you bind up those things that bind you and you loose those things that need to be loosed in your life. You need to be loosed. You need to be brought out of that mentality, and you need to be set free. And the way you do it is by singing praises. You cannot be sad in the basement if you're singing praises to God. Am I right? It's absolutely impossible to stay down if you're singing praises. Am I right? Now, the rest of you hear me. Every one of us in here are bound to something. We're a slave to something. And we come in here and we're bound up and we're in some old basement situation and mentality. Woe is me. Oh, my wife is awful. My husband, I want to kill him. Sing praises unto God. And that thing will be cut off of you. And you can't be sad and sing praises. You're set free. Everything about you is set free. And you can rejoice in your God. Am I right? Sing praises unto God. Don't just sing. Sing a new song. Sing praises. It should be fresh. It should be new. It needs to be exerted in the body of Christ. Everybody in the body of Christ needs to understand the power of praise. Sing praises unto God. Let them dance unto His name. Let them rejoice and be glad. You the people of Zion? What do the people of Zion do? We're going to sing a psalm that the youth band knows, that they have learned. It's from this psalm. It is a praise to God. And I want us to stand, and we'll close with this. Hope I see you tonight. We're going to enter in. But I really want our church to come into a brand new realm and release and praise. I want us to come. I want us to come and design. I want us to release. I want dancing and rejoicing up here. And if you want to come right now, that's fine. But really, before I'm done with this psalm, I want us released into a brand new dimension of biblical praise. Not what you've been taught, not what you think praise is, but what the Bible says it is. Let's rejoice in Him and be glad. All right, whatever that there is that you've got to execute in your life to come forth into the high praises, that's what does it, is the high praises. Come into high praises, and that thing has to drop off of you. You can't praise God and live under bondages. It just won't work. It won't work. You can't praise God and be sad at the same time. Amen? Are you going to go with me now? You going to go with me into this? We're going to talk about congregational praise. Congregational praise. Pastor Tebow is the praise leader. That's coming together in one corporate. He has a place that he wants to take us. He has a vision. He has songs. He's prayed. He's listened to God. He wants us to go with him. But he can't go if we won't go. How many is going to go with him? We're going into a new dimension of praise and worship.